Good morning. Are we doing well? Yeah, I'm excited to be here with you guys. Man, I love Northlands. I love to get to do the things we get to do and be in the exciting time that we're in right now. Honored to be able to share with you this morning. Title of my message is Time to Reload. And I want to tell you, I did not bring any props, so don't worry. Quick little story. I was teaching on being careful. It's back a while in Texas. This is funny. About the way we speak, and sometimes it just shoots out. And I brought my bow case with a Nerf gun in it. So I took it out of the case to say, you know, sometimes when we talk, we go like this. And I when I pulled it out, I saw about four people go. So I decided no more props like that. It's not a good idea, especially in Texas. Yeah. So you learn things. But today I want to talk about it's time to reload. And I want to start with just sharing a story with you. This goes back, man, I think like 25 years when I took a position as a youth director. I was running high school. And when I went to the church, I met a group of guys that stood in the front. And man, they were on fire, excited, ready, sharing testimonies with each other in the lobby about what God was doing. And they were the kind of guys that you were drawn to. You just wanted to be around because of the things they were sharing and doing. And as I got to know them, I was really inspired by their passion and their boldness to go into the community and share the gospel and love people. I mean, it was just so good to be around. And over the course of, I don't know how many years, we left there and we planted a church in Texas. And at the main church there in California went through some really tough things to the point of where it ended up closing down over a series of time. But I want to fast forward a little because I stayed in contact with one of these gentlemen and we became really good friends over the years. And so fast forwarding to this year sometime, I happened to be standing up on this platform and he was with us. Just so you know, I asked him if I could share this. I'm not going to share with you his name, but I just told him, he says, man, yeah, just his initials are B. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So I was standing up on the stage and I happened to look out. Now, let me just throw a disclaimer. Where you're sitting today don't read into anything I say, okay? You'll understand in a minute, but it was just the scenario. So I was standing up on the stage. There's a bunch of us up here, and I was just looking out at everyone in the auditorium, and I noticed my friend who was sitting in the last row, and it was kind of in the darkest place in the auditorium. You know, the lights were dim back there, and so if you're sitting in the back row, hey, no, please. But he was sitting back there, and I caught him back there. And what ran through my mind as I saw him back there is this inspiring guy, hungry for the Lord, and all of this through the trials and circumstances of his life, now found himself sitting in the shadows in the back of the church. And I felt like the Lord told me on the spot, he said, I did not create him for the dark places in the shadows of the church. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I thought, wow. And so after service and everything, we hung out for a little while, and I had the opportunity to take him to the airport. And I want to pull up the word that the Lord gave me, because when I wrote that down and was going to share it with him. And you know how the Lord, once you start moving that direction, he starts giving you more. So on the way to the airport, we were almost there, and I said, hey man, I need to share something with you that the Lord showed me today. And I just feel like it's really important for where you are. He said, yeah, what's going on? And I said, I told him what I just told you, and I said, you know, you were not created for the back row or for the shadows of the church. I said, you were created to share truth boldly that transformed the lives of others through the power of Christ. You have a leadership gift on you, and you need to know that you can't wash it off. It's a fixture the Lord has established on you. And remember, James says he gives generously to all without finding fault. I said, you have much to give, much encouragement, much life, much purpose in leadership to others. And I looked at him and I said, I know who you are. And he was overcome, you know, with emotion. And he looked at me and he said something that, sorry. Lord God. I thought I was gonna get through this. He looked at me and he said something that rattled me the whole way home. And he said, you know, I feel like a spent shell on the battlefield of life. And what's good for me is past. And now it's just time to die. He said, I feel like a spent shell on the battlefield of life. And I reminded him of what it said. And so the way home, literally, I almost had to pull over a couple times. And I realized the reason why it was impacting me so much is because it's not just about my friend. It's not just about one person. It's about God's people who the enemy has chopped a leg off or pushed down, and they feel like a spent shell on the battlefield of life. They feel like the experience that they've had with God up to this place was the best they're ever going to see. And now maybe hopefully someone will walk along and pick up the shell and go, wow, I wonder where this went. And I want to tell you just plainly, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are not a spent shell on the battlefield of life. And neither is he. God has a purpose and a plan. See, John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to steal our dreams, destroy our passion, and minimize our purposes. But I love how John 10:10 moves on, because there's a second part of that where Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Because it's Jesus that comes that you would have life and have it to the full, with big dreams from a big God, great passion, an amazing purpose. Let's choose what Jesus came to do. I feel like this morning there's two people here. There's those that either your life, you can relate with my buddy and go, wow, you know, I kind of feel like the best days were past. But I want to tell you, your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. And then there's those that have purpose and stuff. It's time we gather the shells off the battlefield and remind them of the power and the God that they serve, so that they can be refilled, reloaded, and sent on task for what he has for them, especially for such a time as this. It's time to reload. So I just want to briefly share with you three things that I think are important about this aspect of reload. The first one is we need to reload our future. We need to reload our future. Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of people know this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Listen to it in the message. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And that's a beautiful image. I want to tell you, as long as you have future, you have a future. As long as you have future ahead of you, you have a future. Who has future ahead of you? All of us. If not, someone needs to check you, because something. If we're all alive, you have future. And if you have future, you have a future in front of you. He has a plan for you. And it's not just to care for you and make sure not to abandon you, but it's also to give you a plan to move you downfield. He has much for you to accomplish. You have a future. So in talking about reloading our future, I want to talk about how important it is for us to rely on his plan. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope, and plans to give you a future. So his plan is to prosper you. I want to talk to you quickly about the word prosper. It actually comes from the word shalom. What do you think of when you think of shalom? Peace. Think of peace. That's wonderful. He comes to give us peace. But I want to tell you, he comes to give us much more than just peace. The word shalom in this context speaks of completeness, safety, health, prosperity, tranquil, content, friendship, and peace. He wants to give us all of those things. That's prosper. You know, I've planted a little bit. I know it's scary. I've planted a little bit. And when it prospers, you see the difference. And I do the same thing every time. I till the soil. I throw out whether it's soybeans or clovers or any of those things. When it prospers, it gets lush. It gets green. It gets tall. And deer come. You can finish the rest on that one, right? That's prosper. It's thick. It's lush. All I did was move the soil around and plant the seed. And he brought the rains. Pardon me? Ends with a bang. That's what prospering looks like. It's not just peace, though it is, but he knows the plans for us, and their plans are to have completeness and to have health and to have prosperity and to be content and have friendship and have peace. He wants to prosper us. He also says he wants to give you hope. Do you know that hope is free? He says, I want to give you hope. Want some hope? Here, have some. That's what it looks like. Have some hope. It's free. He gives us hope, and he also gives us a future. If we also want to reload our future, the other thing we got to do, guys, we got to start dreaming big dreams. We need to start dreaming again. This in itself, I feel like something is for some of you. It's time to dream again. It's time to take the book off the shelf, blow the dust, and open it, and dream again. Dreams that have been covered by circumstances and stuff. Dreams that seem so far away that they've filtered off. I'm telling you, it's time to dream again. And to dream in concert with the Holy Spirit. Look to partner with him to create those big dreams because he knows your plan. I had the privilege of going to LeaderCast this weekend, and one of the speakers there, her name is Molly Fletcher, she told a story of an Olympic speed skater, I think it was back in 1994, that was nearing the end of his opportunity to win a gold medal in the Olympics. He had had a difficult year the prior year. I believe he was nicknamed the Heartbreak Kid. And 2 days before he was getting ready to skate in the Olympics, he learned that his sister had passed away from cancer. So in the 500 meter, he fell. And in the 1,000 meter, he fell. No gold medal, no nothing. So getting older in years, he decided, man, I really want to do this. I want to be successful. I don't want to be known as the Heartbreak Kid. So he hired a trainer to help him in these areas. And the trainer came to him and said, you know, well, what are your goals? And he said, I want to be the first guy to break 36 seconds at the 500 meter. And he goes, okay, and what about the 1,000 meter? He goes, I hate the 1,000 meter. He goes, you race it. What do you mean I hate the 1,000 meter? And he goes, okay, for the next 2 years solid, I want you to write down two things every day. I want you to write down 35.99, and I want you to write down, I love the 1,000 meter. Why would I write that down? I hate the 1,000 meter. Just write it down. So he writes down every day, 2 years, trains, does his stuff. The championship before the Olympics, the world championship, he was the first man ever to break the 36-second speed skating in the 500. He went on to the Olympics, and he won the gold in the 1,000-meter race. Sorry, I was like, what do you call that? 1,000-meter race, and broke the world record in that one. Sometimes we need to tell ourselves a different story. Sometimes we need a guide, the Holy Spirit, to connect with us to dream differently, to dream big, because we serve a big God. One of the things we have to realize about dreaming is when you dream, it inspires other people around you. When you connect with the Holy Spirit and partner to him for this dreaming, it does amazing things. Psalm 126, 1-3 says this, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Dreams have impact on other people. I love how you read this, and he says, we were like those who dreamed, and those people who dreamed, they're filled with laughter, tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord's done great things for them. And it's like they go, wait a minute, Yeah, the Lord's done great things for us. In consideration, your dreams inspire other people. The dreams that you have, the testimony of the dreams that God is fulfilling, they inspire other people to dream as well. It's time to dream. I remember in youth ministry that I shared with you, youth ministry was going great. We had a lot of kids coming, but it just felt like something was missing and there was more that we wanted to experience. And I wanted to see a generation of youth launched with the power and presence of God to see miracles and things happen and to see massive amounts of youth come to know Jesus. And it wasn't happening in our youth. We had a great group. We hung out together. It was great. So I remember praying and I said, Lord, I want to partner with you to see this happen. And he introduced me to a man named Benny Perez. I don't know if anybody knows who Benny Perez is. But at that time, he was a youth pastor at a church of about 150 to 200 people, and he had a youth group of 800 people. I'm like, how does that work? It was in Washington, over on the West Coast. And so I flew out there and I met with him, and we talked, we had a great time, and I went to their youth service. And what I saw was 800 kids passionately praising God and wanting to see the power and presence of God manifest, not just there, but in their schools. And testimony upon testimony, as they brought up friends who had come to Christ, I was just blown away. I said, Lord, I want this. And then the Lord connected me with a guy down in Modesto who was into small group ministry, and he was pulling kids together and student-led groups, and they were seeing a ton of kids come to know Jesus. And so I went home from all of this, and I said, Lord, I want them both. How do we do both? And the Lord dreamed a dream with me. And we put this thing together, and I'm not kidding, it just exploded. We started seeing healings and people touched by the presence of God. And then people started coming to know Christ. And it's like God wanted to make a statement. So one of the first young ladies that gave her life to Christ was the head of a Wicca tribe in our high school there. And she was the head priestess, and she gave her life to the Lord. Then she became the person that went back and led the whole coven to come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our city. Dream a dream that's so big, God has to be involved to see it happen. So not only do we need to reload our future, but the other thing we need to do is renew our strength. My friend that I told you about, man, with everything he'd been through, he was tired. He's just like, oh, you know, I don't know, that kind of a thing. We need to renew our strength. Isaiah 40:29 says this, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How do we renew our strength? How do we renew our strength? That scripture tells us we put our hope in the Lord. We put our hope in the Lord. The scripture out of Psalm 20 that says, some trust in chariots, some trust in... I want to give you the Message version. I love this one. It says this. See those people polishing their chariots and the others grooming their horses? But we're making garlands or crowns for God our God. The chariots will rust, the horses pull up lame, and we'll be on our feet standing tall. See, when we hope in the Lord, or when we put our hope in other things, we experience failure and struggle and frustration. But when we hope in the Lord, this passage tells us several things we get to experience. So by hoping in the Lord, is we will renew our strength. Why? Because he's faithful. He's on your side. He's not out to harm you. He's faithful. Putting our hope in the Lord gives us that strength. It also says that we will soar like eagles. You guys ever stop and look at an eagle bird way up high? Anybody? Just me. Okay, I'm the weird one. All right. So watching an eagle soar, it's an amazing thing. Living in California for a while, we used to go up to South Lake Tahoe, and they were nesting in the trees, and watching them, man, it looks so effortless. It's beautiful. It looks so effortless, and they just throw their wings out and allow the wind to carry them up and move them around. And it always used to blow me away. This happens in my backyard a lot. Always blow me away when a hawk would come out of nowhere and grab something and take off. Just obviously you're like, what in the world? Their perspective, way up high, they can see a whole bunch of stuff. whole bunch of stuff. And when we soar, when we put our hope in the Lord, we soar like eagles because his favor is on us. His favor's on us. And by doing so, we get this huge perspective. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I saw this. To me, it was funny. You might not find this funny. I saw this funny video that someone posted. And it was a family out front in their front yard. They had a big grass lawn. And they were teaching their kids about wildlife. And there's this little baby bunny. Should I just stop now? And she gets it under the bush, right? And the thing's trying to get away. And they go, look, honey, and gather the kids around. Look at the little bunny. Isn't it nice? He lives in there in the bush and stuff. And she sets it down. It runs right over by the bush. And they're like, why'd it go back in the bush? She's like, I don't know. And she goes over there, grabs the bunny. Look, everyone pet the bunny, you know. And so it starts to run. She grabs it. She moves out in the middle of the lawn. And puts the bunny down. Whoosh! The next thing I heard was, shut the camera off. Shut the camera off. Now, not for that purpose, but when you soar, when you're high, you have a perspective that people who are close in, you can't see. Let me try to recover from that. Okay. I'll give you another one. So you've figured it out. I do some hunting, and when I'm sitting... when I'm sitting in the tree stand, you gain a perspective where you see the forest. And because nothing's moving, you see a movement and you look, oh, squirrel, oh, squirrel, squirrels. I should be hunting squirrels, you know. So I'm sitting there and I'm with a friend, and this is early on in hunting, and there's a deer. There's a buck. And he goes, do you see the buck? Yeah, I see the buck. The heart's running. He goes, okay, lift your rifle and put the scope on him. So I lift and I take the scope. He's all, what do you see? I go, hair. He's like, what? It was like I had it too powered, so it was like, zoom. I had nowhere I knew I was on the deer except hair. And then you try to move it to find where you're at. When you're right up there without that perspective, it's hard to see anything. He's like, tune the scope back so you have perspective. See, when the wind of the Holy Spirit comes under us and we soar because we put our hope in him, there's peace, there's rest. You get a whole different perspective on what's going on. You see the circumstances for the circumstances. You see the truth for the truth, and you actually know where you're headed. We need to allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to come under us and let us soar. But also in hoping in the Lord, it says we will run and not grow weary. Who's my runners in here? Man, the Lord bless you guys. I'm halfway down. Yeah, some people are going, I'm halfway down the street. My legs are going, hey, let's go back, man. This is way too far, you know? There's a supernatural element when we hope in the Lord that we can run and not grow weary, and we can also walk and not be faint because he's with us. We need to put our hope in the Lord. So we reload our future. We renew our strength. And the last one I want to talk about today is that we need to restore our sight. 2 Corinthians 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to restore our sight. And the way we can do that is by fixing our eyes. So we don't fix our eyes on the circumstances. We don't fix our eyes on the temporary, but I don't know about you, for me sometimes, those are really loud. Do you ever notice that? What's temporary, the circumstances, man, they just seem loud. But we don't fix our eyes on that. We fix our eyes on the unseen. And we fix our eyes honestly on Jesus and what he's doing. When we put the light of truth on any circumstance, it dims it every single time. Last time I had the opportunity to teach, I told you circumstances are only the temporary state of affairs. They're not permanent. It's temporary state of affairs. Truth is permanent. So when we're talking about fixing our eyes, just a couple questions that I think will help us adjust. Number one, what is the Holy Spirit saying? What do you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying? Ask him. He'll tell you. The second thing, what's the truth about this situation? Lord, would you reveal to me the truth? Another one, what does Scripture say regarding this situation? And then to help sum it up, what is the Lord revealing to me? What is the Lord saying to me? What I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is if you have future, you have a future. And the Lord isn't done with you yet. He's not done with you. He's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us in this room because you have future. And though the circumstances and the situation can sometimes get really loud, and honestly, like my friend who visited, years and years of just being stuck. The one thing I didn't tell you is we had that conversation. He said, you know what, Tom, if you'd have told me that about a year ago, I probably would have got offended or something. He goes, but since that time, the Lord's really been speaking to me about who I am and who I am in him and what he's called me to. So sometimes I just forget it's too late. Church, it's never too late. If you have future, you have a future. And he has plans for that. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy or the things that people have said to you in the past. Don't listen to the circumstances that try to dictate your current position as permanent. And know that you are not a spent shell on the battlefield of life. You are reloaded with purpose, and you will hit your target. So it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old. If you have a future, if you have future, you have a future. It doesn't matter if you're over 50, young like me, 48. You have a future. And it doesn't matter if there's an area in your life that you feel disqualified you from something. You have a future even in that. He has plans for you even in that. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's time to reload. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word and the power that accompanies it. And Father, I pray that today in this room and for everyone who's watching, that may feel like what they've experienced thus far is the best that there's ever going to be. And Lord, I just break that lie in Jesus' name. And I replace it with your best days are ahead of you. Father, I pray you would begin to reveal the plans and the future that you have for them. And the ability to dream again and the ability to see the excitement to move forward with you in the things that you've called them to. I pray there be a reloading of a future, the renewing of the strength and the restoring of sight today for all of those. And so, Father, I break circumstances, lies, and things that have been placed on your people in Jesus' name. And I declare freedom, freedom to dream, freedom to walk into the future, freedom to hope in you and to trust in you. And so, Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.